First John chapter 5, commencing at verse number 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God gave to us eternal life. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We end our reading there, and God will continue to bless his word to our hearts. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we come with an open heart before thee, and we pray that by thy Spirit, that thou will reveal to us thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy precious word, because in this book thou dost reveal thy Son. And we ask thee that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt reveal him to each and every one of us afresh, and to those that know thee not, that they might behold the beauty of Christ in his saving power. We pray today that they might realize that Jesus paid it all. And it's all to Christ we owe, for sin had left a crimson stain, but the blood of Jesus washed as white as snow. And so we commit ourselves to thee, and we pray that thou wilt truly bless us and do our hearts good. And grant that our God, that we might know that blessed spiritual heartburn, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us by the way and opened unto us the Scriptures. And so we leave ourselves before thee, cover us afresh in the precious blood, and we claim the power of thy Holy Spirit to preach thy precious word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Lord's Day, as we continued our study here in this final chapter of the epistle of John and his first epistle, we noted that there was a battle raging even in John's day concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because who he is affects of what he has done. And so therefore in John's day there was a battle that was going on, and John confronted it, concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who Jesus really is, and the work of Christ, what Jesus really did upon the cross when he cried the words, "It is finished." Now, I said last Lord's Day that false teachers in the day of John had risen up, and those false teachers sought to undermine the Son of God and to lead people astray and to take them into the path of darkness and in the path of sin. There were those who taught that Jesus Christ became only the Christ, the Messiah, in between his baptism and his death. I also told you that there were those who also taught that he became Christ prior to his baptism. But there were those who said, yes, he became prior to his baptism Christ, but Also, he ceased to be Christ, the Son of God, prior to or before his death. And we looked, in the light of that, we looked at the consequences of that teaching, and we proclaim on behalf of this congregation, on behalf of this denomination, unequivocally, that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We believe that he is not only God the Son, we believe that he is the eternal Son of the eternal Father, and we believe he is the Son of God. Now, in aid of the arguments that John's bringing forth in his presentation here, he directs us to the witnesses, both in heaven and on earth. And he tells us that there are three witnesses in heaven in verse number 7. And it says, the witnesses in heaven that bear record is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there we see before us the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And each one together unitedly bear witness who Jesus Christ, the Son of God, really is. And then we notice that he goes on and he says there are three that bear record on earth. And the three that bear record on earth is the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three bear record on earth, verse number 8. And it says, and these three agree in one. And so we see here, as John presents and confronts false teaching and presents his arguments, he brings forth a united witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. Now, last Lord's Day morning in our concluding part, we were there at verse number 6, we're speaking about the witnesses, and it says, and this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And so here we see the witnesses of who Jesus is, and we find there's a witness of the water, there is a witness of the blood, and there is a witness of the Spirit. Now, I know there are many debates about this subject, and I said in conclusion that when it came to the water and the blood, it was Luther and Calvin said that here we see the reference to the baptism and also the Lord's table testifying to the person of Jesus Christ and the work that Jesus Christ had done. Augustine said that this water and blood refers to the chapter we read this morning, chapter 19 of the book of John's Gospel, where whenever the spear was thrust into the side of Christ, there came forth the blood and the water. But I believe that when you look at the Scriptures and you search the Scriptures, whilst I can see both of those clearly given to us, I believe that it suggests three witnesses that are mentioned here with another significance, the water and the blood and the Spirit. And what I believe is certainly when we look here, we see the witness of the water, and we look there at the commencement of the ministry, the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, and certainly that bears witness of who Jesus is. And then you notice the blood, and certainly the blood speaks to us about the cross, and of course it speaks to us about the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And when we think about the cross of Jesus and the redemptive work of Christ upon the cross for sinners just like you and me, then certainly the cross bears witness of the fact who Jesus really is. Because if he was not whom he said he was, if he is not the Son of God, if he is not the anointed of God and the Messiah, if he is not God the Son who became man and dwelt among us, then he could never be our Savior and be our Redeemer. But praise God, he is. And his redemptive work and his finished work upon the cross bears witness. And the blood was shed. And the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. It speaks for peace. Remember, Abel's blood spoke and called for justice and for judgment and for punishment. But thank God, the blood of Christ, it speaks for pardon. And it speaks peace to our guilty, sinful soul. Then there's the witness of the Spirit. And of course, that's the crowning seal witness, witnessing the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, we're going to look at those this morning. We're going to try and see just exactly how these really do point to us, and these particular times, and the witness of the water, how it speaks to us of who Jesus is, and the witness of the blood, and what it says to us concerning who Jesus is, and then the witness of the Holy Spirit. I said to you that there are numerous debates have been over not only verse 6, but also numerous debates over verse 7 in this book of John. And I thank God I believe both verse 6 and verse 7, as well as I do the rest of the verses in it. I have no problem with any of it at all. But there have been numerous debates. But one thing I say this, that every interpretation tells us that these the witness of the water and the blood and the Spirit is all of Jesus Christ. They're bearing witness to the Son of God. And I'm glad today that we have witnesses that we can bring forth and we can look at what they say. What do these witnesses say to us about Jesus, who He is, and the work that He has done? And praise God, it witnesses to us the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And of course, the devil hates the Lord Jesus. Never be surprised that people try to poke fun at the Son of God. Never be surprised that the enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ try to mock the Son of God. Friend, the devil has opposed the Son of God. Yes, and always will oppose the Lord Jesus Christ. But praise God, one day his day will come to an end and he'll be shut up in hell for all eternity and endure God's judgment upon him. Now let's look at the water. It says here, and I believe the water can refer to the commencement of the ministry of Jesus Christ, because there is a significance about the commencement of the ministry of Christ. And I'm talking about the commencement of the earthly ministry of Jesus. Would you turn back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3? And when you come to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, you have the record of the commencement of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Now remember, the Lord Jesus Christ lived in somewhat obscurity for 30 years. Of course, we have the great incarnation of Christ and the announcement from heaven and the angelic host singing and all the rest of it. And then it seems that whenever you read the Scriptures, friend, there is a period, as it were, of silence. And for a period of time, the Lord Jesus Christ, He dwells in Nazareth there, and He is obedient there in His upbringing, and with Mary and Joseph, and there is in the carpenter's shop. And the Lord Jesus Christ is in His daily life, as it were, there in His earthly dwelling. But when you come to chapter 3 of Matthew's Gospel, you'll find that there is a change that happens, because the Savior is somewhere, at some way, turns His back upon His daily life, and He's no longer taken up with His manly duties there in the carpenter shop, but He enters in upon His great redemptive work, which will be at the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ shall die upon the cross of shame. But there is a significance here, because here in chapter 3 we have, as it were, he leaves the private life and comes into the public ministry. And in the third chapter, you'll notice, it talks about the baptism of Jesus Christ there in Jordan. Let's go to verse number 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And there we see at the inauguration of Christ's earthly ministry, it is characterized by a supernatural and by a divine attestation from heaven itself, with the Spirit of the Lord descended upon the Son of God. Here we see the Trinity. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord descending on Him like a dove, and the Father speaking from heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit here at this baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here they attest to the fact, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And here we see the attestation, the divine attestation or witness or testimony to who Jesus Christ is. He is my beloved Son. He's my beloved Son. Just by the way, can I say, you'll notice the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. A dove, of course, is a beautiful symbol of the Holy Spirit. When you notice the Scriptures, because the dove speaks to us of the Holy Spirit and its purity and also its ministry, the ministry of peace. The first time a dove is mentioned in the Scriptures, you will remember, is mentioned concerning Noah and the ark. And there in Genesis chapter 8, you will find that Noah sent out two birds. He sent out a raven and he sent out a dove. And of course, only the dove came back. The raven didn't come back. That is, of course, that is a fact natural, because you see, the raven was able to eat upon the flesh, and the raven represents the flesh. And there was plenty for the raven to eat outside the ark whenever Noah opened the window and let the raven out. There was plenty that the raven would certainly eat upon, because the carcasses of the dead were upon the water. And so therefore the raven didn't return, because it speaks to us as of the flesh. But of course, whenever the dove went out, the dove did return. And the dove, of course, would not defile itself with the carcasses. The dove returned to the ark, and he came back to Noah. The second time that the dove came back, it was released, of course, the second time, it returned with an olive leaf. And of course, there we see the symbol of peace. Actually, the name Jonah means dove. But of course, that's another argument as well. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is certainly seen there in the story and the life of Jonah. But here in this passage of God's Word, it says that at the baptism of Christ, at his baptism, when he went down into the water and straightly he came out of the water, here's the testimony at that moment of his baptism, at the commencement of the earthly ministry of Christ. Who is he? Who is Jesus? And the Spirit of God descended upon him, and the Father spoke from heaven, and he said, I'll tell you who he is. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1, because he is very emphatic and very clear what that all was about and what that spoke to him of. Let's just look at it, because think of what we're saying. Here is John's argument. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And those that believe or trust in him shall have eternal life. Those that believe that Jesus is the Son of God, they are born of him and are born again of the Spirit of God. But listen, notice what John says in chapter 1. Go to verse 30. It says, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, here's testimony here, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Now this is John the Baptist. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Now mark verse 34. And I saw, and I bear record that this is what? The Son of God. This is the Son of God. There's a testimony. There's the testimony of the water. Here's the testimony of the baptism of Christ. Here was the commencement of his earthly ministry. And what did God declare? He said, this is my beloved Son. And here's what John said. Here's my record. I bear record of this fact. This is the Son of God. He is who He claims He is. And praise God, therefore, He came to do what He claimed to do. There is the witness of the water that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, of course, we have the second witness. Let's move on to the second witness. And the second witness is the blood. And, of course, the blood speaks to you and me, and I believe it refers to our Savior's death upon the cross of Calvary. When Jesus Christ upon the cross died for our sins, for our redemption, to pay the penalty of our redemption, to set you and me eternally free from the power and the pollution of our sin, and glory to God from the penalty of our sin, and even one day from the very presence of sin itself. Because you see, it's only through the blood of Christ that you and I can have forgiveness of sin. We are brought nigh to God through the blood of Christ. Oh, this morning, we could spend all morning just telling you what the blood of Jesus Christ does. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, not only cleanseth from all sin, but praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing from all sin. It speaks of the cross. And there on Calvary's cross, as Isaiah prophesied, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, or the word bruised is crushed. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Sinner, don't pass the cross this morning unaffected. Remember this, He was there on the cross for you and me. He was wounded for our transgression. There's the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ upon the cross. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. Think of what that meant. The Son of God being crushed for our iniquities. How and why? Because He took, not only did He bear our sin, but He took the judgment and He suffered the punishment that was due for our sin. In my place, condemned, He stood. He sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah! What a Savior! And it is through Christ's sacrifice of Himself upon the cross that you and I can stand righteous and perfect before God, justified, just as if we never had sinned. But only, my friend, only the Son of God could do such a work. Only the Son of God could do such a work for you and me. Did the cross declare that? Did it, friend? Did the cross bear witness to that fact of who Jesus was and is? Well, then let's look. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew, chapter 27. And there in that 27th chapter, because of time, go quickly, verse 45. It says this, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour." And so we see here's the Lord Jesus entering into the suffering and the agony of the cross. Because let me tell you, friend, it was here when the Father stepped in to extract divine justice and to plunge the sword of divine justice into the very bosom of His Son. And yes, the devil has done all that he can do, and man has done all that he has done. He tore the hairs from His cheeks, and He mocked and He slapped Him on the face, and He cursed Him and all of these things. But now the darkness falls, because God, the Father, steps in. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" Verse 50, "Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying," what did they say, friend? "Truly,
This was the Son of God. Truly, this was the Son of God. Then, what spoke to them? What convinced them? It's what God did that day.
And their God revealed to their hearts that day. These hard men, this centurion, and those that were with them, they saw the scene. They saw the earthquake and the things that were done because of it. And they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, truly, this was the Son of God."
Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, we'll go to verse 46. And it says this,
"And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.' And having said this, thus he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.'"
He bears testimony. This was a righteous man.
Why, friend? Because he was none other than the Son of God. They declared that he was the Son of God.
The water speaks to us. The baptism of Christ.
And thereupon, there the Spirit descends and the voice from heaven says and declares. And John says, "This witness to me, this is the Son of God."
And here at the cross, it witnesses to them that he is the Son of God.
And just before I move on to the witness of the Holy Spirit, turn with me again to Hebrews chapter 9 and 10.
And just let's read this, friend,
because I trust that God will write this upon your heart, and if you know not Jesus,
may God bless it to your soul. Hebrews chapter 9, go to verse number 12. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled with the unclean, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Last Lord's Day evening, we looked at the atonement. We looked indeed the Day of Atonement. We reminded ourselves afresh that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. But praise God, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin.
And then in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse number 11, "Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Let me tell you, friend, why did he sit down? What did he cry on the cross? What did the cross witness? "It's finished. It is finished. The work is done." And praise God, this man, Christ Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he was the sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. Do you remember going up the mountain? Do you remember Abram going up the mountain with the son? And God told him to place his son Isaac upon the altar and bind him and make him the sacrifice. And remember, as they were going up together, this boy said to his dad, he said, "Dad, here's the fire, here's the knife, but where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham in faith said these words, "God will provide himself the lamb." And friend, so he was. Himself the lamb. Who was the Lamb of God? What did John say? "Behold, look. There's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And I say to you this morning in this gathering, look away to Christ. Only the Lamb of God can take away your sin. Friend, let me tell you, sin's an awful thing. It can be packaged up whatever way man wants to and make it pleasant, but it's still the poison of sin.
And it's the blood of Jesus Christ alone that can cleanse you from your sin. And that can only be done as you rest your soul upon the finished work of Jesus. Listen, there's no easy way. There's no cheap way to redemption. It cost the Son of God His precious blood upon the cross. The innocent blood of Christ was shed upon the cross of Calvary for sinful man, that we might be redeemed. And those that come to Him and put their faith and their trust in Him, glory to God, they'll never perish, but they'll have everlasting life. The witness of the water. This is the Son of God. The witness of the blood. Truly, this was the Son of God. The witness of the Spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit of God, friend, was the crowning seal, the crowning witness that Christ is the Son of God. Turn with me to John's Gospel. And in John's Gospel, we find indeed many references to the coming and the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit was coming to do. What was the work that the Holy Spirit was coming to do? Look with me in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And it says in verse number 26, 15 verse 26, when the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. That's what He's called, of course, in 1 John chapter 5 and the verse number 6. He is the Spirit. The Spirit is truth. He is the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. What shall He do? He shall testify of Me. He will testify. The Holy Spirit is the one who testify concerning Christ. He points man and woman to Jesus. He points man and woman to Christ. The Holy Spirit of God draws man and woman to Jesus Christ. And here we see, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me. Then turn to chapter 16. And in chapter 16 of John's Gospel, it says something else. Go to verse number 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, says the Lord Jesus, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. Here we find what the Spirit of God come to do. He shall glorify Me, says Jesus. He's going to bring glory to Me. And He shall receive of Mine, and He shall show it, or He shall reveal it unto you. In other words, He'll bear testimony. And so the Holy Spirit bears testimony by coming down according as Christ has promised, and thereby He bears witness in the hearts of God's people. Now the Holy Spirit did come. The Holy Spirit of truth did come. And we read in Acts chapter 2, let's go to Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost was truly come. And we find in verse number 16, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of My Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on My servants and on Mine handmaidens I will pour out in those days of My Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And so the Holy Spirit did come. Acts chapter 4, it says in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, And they spake the word of God with boldness. What did the Holy Spirit of God come to do, friend? The Holy Spirit of God came to witness concerning Christ. The Holy Spirit's witness is not one of reason. The Holy Spirit of God's witness is not one of rationalization. But the Holy Spirit of God, His witness is one of revelation. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and verse 16, it says this, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjuna, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And then God reveals it by His Holy Spirit. God reveals to you and me the Lord Jesus by His Spirit. And can I say this quickly? The Holy Spirit bears witness to us. The Holy Spirit of God bears witness in us. And the Holy Spirit of God bears witness through us. To us, in us, and through us. Can I give you those verses just so that you can understand what I'm saying? And you can study this yourself, because we're not going to, time's away. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse number 12, it says this. "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You see, the Holy Spirit of God reveals to us. He bears witness to us. And when it comes to handling the Word of God, friends, let me tell you, it's only the Holy Ghost can reveal what God's really saying to us in His Word. Because the natural man can't. It says here, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness. You see, unto them that believe not, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Preaching this, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that through Christ, that you and I can have eternal life, and it will never perish, and it will never be lost in hell for all eternity. As far as the world is concerned, that's foolishness. Through the death of Christ, that we can have life eternal. But unto them that believe, praise God. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. Why? Why does he say it foolishness? Because the natural mind receiveth not. The natural mind can't understand the things of God. But thank God, we who are saved, we by the power of the Holy Ghost who teacheth us, can compare spiritual with spiritual, because these things are spiritually discerned. And so the Holy Spirit of God witnesses to us. Then Romans chapter 8, quickly. Romans chapter 8. And the second thought is this, the Holy Spirit of God witnesses in us. Not only to us, but in us. And in Romans chapter 8, if we go to verse 14, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." You see the word Abba. In actual fact, that's, we get the word Daddy. Daddy. Papa. Papa. Father. A very affectionate term, friend. That's one of the most lovely and most loving terms that one could ever say. And we, it says, listen, "as many as are led of the Spirit, but we have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, how does this happen? Look at verse 16. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." In other words, friend, here's not only revelation to us, an external revelation because the Spirit of God witnesses to us, but praise God, we have internal witness. We have an internal witness here because the Holy Spirit witnesses within us. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am born of God. Witnesses to us, witnesses in us, lastly, witnesses through us. Acts chapter 5. And in the 5th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, in verse number 32, this is what it says. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. The witness of the Spirit is always to Jesus. The witness of the Spirit is always bearing witness to the Son of God. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God. Now we have this witness, the Bible says. Let's go back to where we started. In 1 John chapter 5. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And then verse 8. There are three that bear record or bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three is one. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Friend, you've heard the witnesses this morning. You've heard the witnesses concerning who Jesus is and what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has done. Can I ask you a question? Will you believe the witness? Will you accept the witness that God has given to you this morning, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? And will you by faith come and receive Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior, as your Lord? Will you surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and go home knowing the cleansing of your sin through the precious blood? Oh, don't go away without him. Don't turn away from the Son of God, friend. Without him, you'll surely perish. Without him, you'll be unsaved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before thee, we thank thee for the giving of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and sending him to a cross of shame to be our Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. We thank thee that he finished the work on the cross for his people. We thank thee, our God, that thou hast provided in Christ redemption full and redemption free. We pray for those this morning that are in this gathering without thee. Oh, blessed Spirit of God, reveal unto them the Lord Jesus. And even, Lord, as they have gathered round your precious word this morning, and they have heard of the witness of the water, and they have heard of the witness of the blood, concerning who thou art, we thank thee for the witness of the Holy Spirit, the one who will guide into all truth, the one who will lead us to Jesus. That we, being born of thy Spirit, may cry, Abba, Father, and know that thou dost love us, and thou dost care. Bring souls to Christ. Bring the fallen back to yourself. And help your people to go on with the Lord, in Jesus' name.